Good to see everybody back this evening. Hope you've had a good day. We have all had plenty to eat, so if you fall asleep, you've got 12 minutes, and then you got to wake up. I heard a while back some comedian talking about how it wasn't fair when you get in trouble from your wife about a dream that they had, anyway, I walked into the house today after going over my sermon, and Carolyn said, "I was so mad at you last night." And I said, "What for?" And she said, "You were talking during somebody's prayer." And she said, "You were just talking and talking, and you were being so rude that when it was over, I hit you in the head with a chair and threw you outside." So anyway, that was the type of day, my day started. There's all sorts of dreams. Dave was telling me one that he had had. I later on wondered if it was true or not. He said he dreamed that a witch had turned him into a muffler. And I said, "A muffler?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I woke up and I was just exhausted." So, if anybody needs to be hit in the head with a chair, we had looked at several verses on Wednesday night about Jacob, and I wanted to kind of revisit some of them this afternoon, just to try and make a point about our lives that maybe will be helpful. But it starts in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 4, and after it's after Joseph had told his brothers his dream about them falling down and worshiping him, and they didn't like that. It said then their father bought Joseph a richly ornamented coat, or a coat of many colors, and there was a jealousy there. And in verse 4 of Genesis 37, it said that they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. And later on, we all know that they took Joseph and they put him into a cistern, and then they drug him up out of it and sold him into slavery. And then once he got into slavery and was doing a good job, his master's wife accused him of a crime he didn't do, and he got thrown in prison. And then while he was in prison and there, he had helped out some of the prisoners who were in a high position to talk to Pharaoh for him, and at least one of them was, and he never did talk to Pharaoh, at least for the longest time, and so Joseph just languished in prison. But at the end of all that, we have this, Genesis chapter 41 and verse 39. This is after Joseph finally was remembered and brought before Pharaoh, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace. All of my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." He took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger, and dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way." Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or a foot in all of Egypt." Well, we looked at this and talked about the fact that if you were told in advance that you were going to be second in charge of the most powerful nation on the face of the planet, you would probably be pretty happy about that. But if you knew what you had to go through to get there, you might think that you wouldn't want to do it. This happened a lot with God's chosen people. When you look at what Daniel had to go through, he was taken into Babylon in slavery, and he was trying to be faithful to God, and yet that faithfulness to God got him put in the lion's den with the intent to have him killed, but God stayed the mouth of the lions, and he was brought out, and then he was put in high command within the nation of Babylon, and then later on as well with the Medes and the Persians when they took over. But the point is that wouldn't be the way you would think it would happen if you were going to get to that point. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the privilege that must have been. And yet on the way to becoming the mother of Jesus, because she was found to be with child, her fiancé nearly called off the wedding and would have had an angel not intervened. And then as Jesus got older and began his ministry, her other children, her sons specifically, thought that Jesus was mad and they were going to take charge of him. And so there was friction within the family, so much so that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that he turned the responsibility of Mary over to John, and John to be taken care of by Mary, at least for the time being. Now, we know that Jesus' brothers, within a short time of that, certainly recognized the fact that Jesus was, in fact, the Son of God, but that didn't come until later. But you just think of all the turmoil that Mary must have gone through for 33 years of her life, and then to watch the persecution that came about as a result of Jesus' teaching. But we see all these things as we read through the Bible, and then Hebrews chapter 11 starts talking about a whole new set of people and all the things that they went through to get where they eventually got to. And it talks about the persecution that many of them went through, and in fact, that the fact that some of them had to die for their beliefs in God. And we look at all that and we wonder why, I think, sometimes. I'm convinced that there are times in our own lives that we look at our circumstances and we think, for whatever reason, this is just too hard. Or maybe we even think this isn't fair, that this just isn't right, that I have to go through this and others don't, or this just isn't fair that I'm suffering when people who are not even trying to do right are doing well. But we forget that these are just events on the road to heaven. And that when we get to heaven, that nothing else will have mattered after that point. You may have had a rough life, but if that rough life helped groom you and prepare you to be the type of a person that would be in heaven someday, you'll rejoice. And if you've had difficult things in your life that were just very unfair or very painful, even those things will pale by the comparison of the reward of heaven that you're going to have. And that's why we looked at these passages, and I want to look at them once again this evening. The first is found in James chapter 1 and verse 2. You're familiar with this passage. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." God is preparing us for heaven. He's also putting us through certain things in this life so that we can be better servants of His right now, and so that we can help others along their path to heaven as well. Our problem comes when we get to thinking that somehow we are particularly singled out, or that somehow God has somehow forgotten us or has let us go through things that He shouldn't have let us go through. And yet here you are, you sit today literally on the verge of heaven, if you'll just be faithful. And if you find yourself in a situation where you haven't been faithful, all you have to do is repent. And you can be right back in that sanctified covenant position of a person that's going to heaven. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1 talks about what the writer had written about in chapter 11 of the difficulties that the people went through. And he says, "Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Now, perseverance is no fun, is it? Have you ever gone through something, and as you were going through it and it was tough and it was just almost wearing you out, were you just really so happy that you were going through it? And yet so many times the very things that have been the most difficult in our life have prepared us for the best service. And sometimes the things that have been the most difficult have actually allowed us then to be able to help others who are going through that very thing, who may not know Christ, who may have never, ever been baptized into His name, who may have never had their sins forgiven, and yet because you have been through something that they have been through that gives you something in common with them, you had a chance to help them to come into contact with the saving blood of Christ. After he says, let us run with perseverance, in verse 2 he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This really is the key. There are hard things in life, and if you ever take your eyes off of Jesus, especially when you're going through the hard times, it's not going to work well. As a matter of fact, I have found that when people take their eyes off of Jesus and they're going through good times, it doesn't work out well. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It wasn't fair that Jesus was beaten at least 3 times. It wasn't fair for him to be spat upon by the Jews and the Gentile leaders. It wasn't fair for him to have his clothes stripped from him and hung up on a cross and subjected to ridicule for hours. But he did that for the joy that was set before him. It was going to be his blood that would cleanse us so that we could be with his Father forever. These are the types of things I believe we need to think about when we go through these difficult times. And Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's the key, isn't it? If we don't give up, someday, because of God's mercy and grace, if we have done what they want us to, and if we've repented when we fail, if we're in that covenant position with Him, if we don't get weary and don't give up, we're going to be with them forever. And nothing else at that point will matter. Invitation's open. If you need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?